Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man, but I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can take a little of your time and be with us yet again for another episode, which we believe is going to be very informative and useful. All right? If you're just tuning in, that I offer a 10 to 15 minute monologue, which gives us context and background for the conversation we're having tonight. Let me just say up front that this is a talk show, so we do a lot of talking. It's been said that we do a lot of talking and so forth. That's what we do. This is called Talk Straight, and sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute, which is a research and educational arm for a Nashville, Tennessee-based nonprofit, Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated. So with that being said, we encourage you and welcome you to share with us in our dialogue. All we ask is that you keep it relevant as much as possible. Sometimes we veer off, but we keep it relevant to our topic for tonight, and that you show deference or respect to all of our callers. Sometimes people don't agree with me, and that's perfectly fine. But we certainly want to be respectful in our as we share our comments. And perhaps we may have a difference of opinion on various things. But nonetheless, we are grateful that you join us tonight. I see that we have callers in queue. Bear with us here, and let me get through a few preliminaries here. The number to call, thank you, our friends on Facebook that are following us via live stream. The number to call here live to talk with us tonight is 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. Looking forward to some good dialogue with you. Like a train that has become derailed from its tracks, while it is in motion, the young mind that lacks pro-social guidance is prone to cause catastrophic damage to everything in its path. There are many who profess to know how to get wayward or misguided minds back on track. We hear that oftentimes. A lot of money's been spent, social service industry. But when you look at it, They seem to lack the patience, the understanding, and the sincerity that it takes in order to reach those young minds and to respect that they're energetic, they're troubled, but yet creative. Without that, you're not going to be able to reach them. Before you can teach, you must first reach anyone. All right? So tonight, we're going to talk from the topic, how. You may have noticed in 2018, that's what we've been focusing on, how. Process. To get a derailed mind back on track for success in America. Now, I mentioned earlier that we do a lot of talking on this show by intention, by design, absolutely. I'm the host, and when I talk, I can't speak for anyone else, but I speak from experience as a pastor, as an educator, as a nonprofit founding director, and from a doctoral background experience. So you don't have to accept it, but I'm offering you my best estimate as to how we can fix certain problems. I've had the occasion to travel to numerous cities and to engage people and use various research methodologies, such as the qualitative tradition of study that involves assessing situations and circumstances from case studies, direct interviews, and or written or other document stories that are passed down from others. And so we, through observation and participation with the population that we've studied, particularly Afro-American males, we've come up with these research-based findings, hence our traveling lecture and seminar series. All right, having said all of that, and I only did that because the question was raised previously. Also, I was asked about old school. Aren't you a preacher? Yes, I am, for the last 20-some years. But if you got to label me as anything, call me the old school preacher. Telling it like it is. All right, done with that. How to get a derailed mind back on track for success in America. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, the 7th through the 9th verse, reads in this manner. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Verse 8 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. All right? Going down to verse 9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. All right. I want to talk about the mind, kind of define what it is for our conversation. I want to talk about mechanical derailment and what that is to be derailed mechanically. And then the psychological or psychiatric aspects of derailment in terms of thought disorder. That's actually a psychological study. All right? And then I want to offer you five suggestions or steps to help get a derailed mind back on track. Now, we're looking for answers and solutions. Again, you don't necessarily have to accept them, but I'm offering you my best estimate as to how we can do this. Now, it's worked for some folks that I've had the occasion to deal with. So I'm going to give it to you just like it is and use it as you will. All right? So let's talk about the mind right quickly for a few minutes. The mind, as related to humans and conscious beings, is the element or the part, the substance, or process that reasons, that thinks, that express feelings or emotions, or a will that makes perceptions, perceive things, or make judgments, personal judgments. Now, when we're talking about from a psychological standpoint, we're talking about the totality of conscious or unconsciousness, right? Your mental processes and activities. All of us have them. Some of us are able to use them perhaps a bit more advanced than others, but nonetheless, we have them. Now, intellectually, we're talking about how one understands or distinguishes from the faculties of feeling and their will and intelligence. All of this has to do with the mind. Well, this is related to our topic tonight because we're talking about how to get a derailed mind back on track. So let's understand what it means to be derailed. Now, two concepts of derailment. One is mechanically and then the other is psychological derailment. In a mechanical sense, a derailment occurs when a vehicle, such as a train, runs off its rails. We've seen those type of things in the news. This does not necessarily mean that the train leaves the track altogether. Some derailments are small, but what they all have in common is that they can result in temporary disruption of the proper operation of a railway system. And because they tend to transport people, not only people, but they tend to transport people like Amtrak, they can cause serious hazard to human health and safety. That's the mechanical derailment. Now let's talk about from a psychological standpoint. I think this is apropos to where we are tonight in terms of derailment. In psychiatry, derailment is a thought disorder that is characterized by communication that's consisting of a sequence of unrelated and remotely related things. So you're engaging with someone and you're trying to have a conversation about a particular topic or about a circumstance or theme, and it's difficult for them to stay focused on that topic. They're everywhere. They're here and there and a little bit of everywhere. All right? The frame of reference often changes with an individual who's suffering from derailment or thought disorder from one sentence to the next. So the conversation is not based in reality. The latter is recognizable by slippage of a concept, and they tend to move further and further from the point that we're talking about. They are good people who have a hard time staying focused with the conversation about their own lives, their own futures, their own dreams, their own hopes, and they tend to think about everybody else's. A good example is when you want to emulate a rapper or a athlete or someone else. You walk around with their jerseys on, and in your mind, every time somebody talk about to you about what you're doing in your life, you associate that with what you perceive about their greatness. It's difficult for you to stay focused. Derailment can often be manifestly caused by intense emotions, such as when a person is high off of something. It don't necessarily have to be controlled drugs or controlled substances. It can be high off of a fallacy, a lie, an idea that is not based in reality. Or they're hysterical. Either way, they're not rational. It can often be related to a concept that's called tangentiality. And that has to do with moving off the point or irrelevant when you're responding or answering. Now, often young people are questioned about their future and their hopes and their dreams. And when individuals begin to talk to them about their capabilities and those type of things, they go off the rail and they can't really focus on what you're talking about because often that they're not prepared. Unfortunately, in urban America, there are many young people who are good at heart and have potential, have creativity. People lack the patience to listen to them long enough to understand the root cause and the nature of their derailment. You can't get them back on track if you don't have the patience to meet them where they are. Yes, sometimes some things my people have done are really off the rails. But if you love them, you got to be patient with them. That's the way the Savior was. All right, now, having said that, and we're about to open up the phone line, I want to offer to you, for your consideration, 5 steps to get a derailed mind back on track. If you know somebody who conversation is all over the place and tend not to be based in what is real for the moment, consider this. First, when you interact with them, you've got to be patient. And you have to arrest them from their false reality. Listen to them, but bring them back to what is real. Okay? That takes time. That takes investment of resource and even your patience. All right? Once you do that, though, what you want to do is to offer them what is truthful and what is meaningful. For instance, if you're 18 years old, believe it or not, this is real, and you don't know how to simply bathe yourself without having a body odor among other people and causing other people to look funny and strange at you, we have a problem. Right? But yet you think that the world is automatically supposed to accept that as being normal and real. And when we have those conversations, you start talking about everything but that. Okay? So you got to invest in realistic viewpoints of life with them, usually based on your own experience. Then, for that individual, it's necessary that their environment is changed. Whatever triggered the derailment that took them off track, you got to pull them away from that and place them in a realistic environment. Once you get there, they must discipline themselves and you establish rules and agreement with them that, hey, we're not going to go there anymore, but we're going to stay right here and we're going to be focused about what we're doing. All right? Then lastly, you have to, in a loving way, teach them to defend themselves against anything or anybody else that will cause them to become derailed in their thought and action ever again. In 1968, Harry Elston, a fellow by the name of Floyd Butler, a young lady named Jessica Cleves, and a young lady named Barbara Jean Love and Charlene Gibson, they called themselves Friends of Distinction. And they brought these words. It said very simply, I'm an ever-rolling wheel without a destination real. I'm an ever-spinning top, whirling around till I drop. Oh, but what am I to do? My mind is in a whirlpool. Give me a little hope, one thing to cling to. You got me going in circles, round and around I go. I didn't say it right. Listen to them.
Destination be. I'm an ever spinning top, whirling around till I drop. Oh, but what am I to do? My mind is in a whirlpool.
fallen so many different times and still falling as we speak. and still getting back up. You know, so I've heard that song so many, I mean, numerous of times in Jew joints, clubs, in my car. and when I hear the song, "You Got Me Going in Circles," the only thing, now I want everybody to listen to this when I say this. The only thing with the author, the songwriter, when he said "you got me going in circles," could that you, when he says "you got me going in circles," could that person you actually be you yourself? Because a lot of times I just heard this not long ago, ladies and gentlemen. 2% of our problems come from elsewhere. The other 98 come from us. So by him going through those circles, did he put himself in that situation to go through those circles?
Great question. That's where I want to take us tonight. That is a great question, Brother Richardson. Let me bring in 3072 and 1098 to the discussion here, just briefly, and then let's go there. That's a great question, and Lewis raised a great point as well. That's kind of where I want to go tonight. 3072, question, comment so far?
Yeah, well, while I can relate to that song, it wasn't quite in my era, but, man, Keith Sweat said something about going in merry-go-round and round. He asked the young lady that he told her it must feel good to your baby to be over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I go back to Brother Richardson's question. Are you hurting me over and over again, or am I? So, yeah,
wow.
that's a valid question.
Wow. Wow. Okay, we're going to get to it. 1098, what about it? What about it, 1098? I know 1098 know that song.
Hey, you know I'm old, so, you know, I'm not, you know, a lot of things, I'm not going to let them take me around like that, because I do that, looking, I do that other circle, I do that 360-degree turn, and bam, the back of these shoes, back of them shoes, oh, last you going to see of me, good love, son,
well,
I can't just be a love,
there you
son.
Go.
You know, the woman dealing with his mind, messing with his mind, he should have been did that 360-degree turn, so bam, look at these shoes, bye.
No,
you got 360 degrees on the circle now. Yeah.
Okay. So let me go to Lewis and Brother Richardson's point. Here's the reality. Lewis and Richardson, what if you don't know that you're causing yourself a problem, that you're the problem? And this is where the concept of derailment comes in. The individual that cannot stay focused on reality, they don't know that.
Stay out there, play with them.
That's very true.
And the thing about it is they distracted. And why are they distracted? Because they don't have the tools to put themselves back on track. And that's why I said what I said about the figure eight. If you don't cut into that circle, take a break, at least get some new tires. Even the NASCAR, you in number one. But you got to stop. You got to take a break to get new tires, because if you don't, you're going to continue on that loop till you blow your tires. And then you just ride on the edge. Eventually, you're going to burn up because you're stuck in an endless loop. You got to cut a lane. You got to cut across. You got to make a way to exit this. This race got to end one day. It can't go on for 10,000 laps, 30,000 laps, 1,000. Like, how many laps do you need to know that it's not working out?
Great point.
Well, can I say something?
And what I said.
Okay. Go ahead, 3072. Then we'll go back to Brother Richardson. Go ahead, 3072.
I am so glad that, right, man, that song is like key to everything, not just in love and relationships, but in life. Right. What is the song doing? He's depicting a person having him going somewhere. You are in control of your own path, your own destiny. You're right. Now, where you allow someone else to take you is on you. You can't blame them. Right. And Lewis is exactly right. Lewis is right. You have to be the determining factor of that circle eight, like he said, and 1098. Right. When you see it's not going nowhere and you done came full circle around again, it's time to go a new path in a new direction. that's where I think we need to be focusing on, like, sending people, not just with the drug dealing or people not getting jobs or whatever. Right. It's back to refocus, redirection on self.
That's
my thought.
I totally
agree.
Okay. All right. Okay, Brother Richardson, you threw this firebomb, man. Get help us out of here.
Okay. All right. Now I want everybody, if you're standing up, please sit down. Please. Because here it is. One of the first many lessons as a child that we were taught were what? Learn how to put your shoes on the right foot. Am I right or am I wrong, ladies and gentlemen?
That's right.
Okay.
Now,
let's just say the significant age for learning how to tie your shoes, let's say, is 3, 4.
Give or take.
Okay. You can't be 12 years old making that same mistake, putting the left on the right and the right on the left.
I agree.
You can't do it. Now I accept different mistakes, but us in the community have been making, watch this, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to take it back this far, we have been making the same mistake ever since we came off the slave ship, okay? And the master taught us about Christianity. 5 minutes later, we were getting beat by the slave master. So that's where the derailment came from. Now, the lesson, like I said, it's having to do with time and shoes and the mistakes. You can't make the same mistake from 4 to 12. At 12 years old, it's time for a new mistake. New blessing, new lesson. That's just all it is to it.
Pastor Waller?
Yes, sir.
What do you think about it? Sounds like what Brother Richardson is inferring is that theologically there's been some derailment there. What do you think about that?
You know, you said, and let's speak about that again. But you said it's what's going on with that?
Well, with religion, with what we have adopted as our religious practice and teaching, that factors into the displacement of reality or the derailment. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, that's where I was really heading at myself, because I don't want to be opinion-oriented, you understand? I mean, that's just me. It's a personal thing. It's nothing against nobody else. Because if I get into the opinion, I might be wrong, and I don't like being wrong. I just got to be honest with myself. I was wrong for 20-plus years of my life, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And I got free from it. And so now I would love to be right, but that doesn't mean I'm going to be right. So if I can utilize the Word of God, that's all right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I would see 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 11. It says, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. See, that's an order. That's a lifestyle. That means that if you do that, you stay in your lane. You understand? You won't have to be.
Oh, my God. Right.
Merry-go-round like I did years ago.
Yeah.
So when everybody else is on the merry-go-round, and if the right one is pushing that thing around to make it go so fast, and look, you can say you're going to hold on all you want to. That's what I've done. But I was unable to hold on. But I learned from that. And now I know better now. You see what I'm saying? So I don't want to get on that merry-go-round when the one who's pushing it know what they're doing. See, I'm going to make you fall off if you get on there. So, you know, I'm going to study to be quiet and do my own business and work with my own hands and as I was commanded. And this is an order. You know, it's a lifestyle. It's a practice. So I would say religion is one thing. And I know sometimes, you know, we talk about religion and some people don't really care for it. And I understand that. Out in the real world, the people that I was affiliated with, they didn't deal with the Bible. You know, they went for what they knew. They learned things and they had in their life. And they got captured and couldn't stop, couldn't get free and all those things that we talk about. It's just like walking away from it if you want to. You try to walk away from this addiction that you got and see what happens. If you don't know how to do it, you know what I mean, you're going to be, man, climbing the wall because you don't have no
instructions in that. So I thank God for the Bible, man, how it has taught me.
Amen.
To stay in my lane.
Okay.
Can I add to what he just said?
Go ahead.
Sure.
Who?
Go ahead.
Okay. That was another great key point. I admire Pastor Waller so much. That is like, man, nothing but the pure, unadulterated truth. So, right, oftentimes, and for those believers, man, I give credit and high kudos to people that do acknowledge God, and they are trying to do something that's for God. However,
definitely,
people get lost in the religion thing. It's almost like the street games. No, us Baptists, we have to do it this way. No, Methodists, do it this way.
Right.
Me personally, I grew up under the Hebrew faith. So us Hebrews, we do Hanukkah, and we worship the new moons, and we do this and that. No, your first focus should be, for one, it's a personal, it's an individual thing with you and the Creator.
Amen.
And that's
Amen.
First, to please Him. Everybody's path is not the same. It's not the same.
Amen.
You
that's
got
right.
a plight, I got a plight, he got a plight.
Mm-hmm.
We need to follow that. Learn what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Stay on that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can be productive within society, and we honestly can get in where we're intended to fit in.
Add to that, not to go against anything, can I say one thing?
Go ahead, Louis. I was coming to you in a second. Go ahead, Louis.
I totally agree with everything that's been said. Oh, I'm sorry. I
you got the floor, Louis. Go ahead.
Okay, I thought
you got the floor, Louis. Go ahead.
All right, so what I'm trying to say is the exact same thing that 80... Well, I'm not sure the numbers. I'm going to just get to the point. Free will. It's about free will. It's all about free will. If you choose to go up or down, it's a personal choice. And at the same time, that's what God gave us, our God-given right. But we're talking about being dispelled mentally from what you were taught, the things that were embedded in you, your mind going against your soul and your spirit. That's a big thing. That's a huge thing that's happening with the youth in America, if we want to address the youth in America, is that
absolutely.
It's a disconnect.
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm saying, it's a disconnect. I'm not trying to go against everybody or say anything anybody. What I'm trying to say is that the youth in America is disconnected from that spiritual advisory that was happening to my generation.
Louis.
I think we the last of Mohicans.
Louis, stay
agreed.
Right there,
agreed.
Man. That's where I'm coming to you, Louis. That's where I want to go.
Agreed.
So, Louis, what
yes,
do you
sir.
Think about the fact that two or three generations removed from you, and this is related to what Brother Richardson was saying, there are some things about our subculture and our heritage in America, since we've been in America, that has not been passed down to your generation.
Yes.
So
yes.
you and others behind you find yourselves reinventing the wheel of reality. And getting caught up in all kinds of because nobody's taught you about how the ancestors overcame slavery and all
That's
other
right.
people things that brought us to this point. What about that, Louis?
See, well, personally, as a person, I'm gonna say, me personally, I was actually fortunate in that event because I was taught those things just through
so
the culture.
So speak about your
my,
generation then.
Just through
speak
my,
about your peers.
But for I'm going to speak in general about my
you.
Generation. I just want that to be known because I don't want the people that
yes,
taught
sir.
Me the things that I know to feel like, oh, well, yeah, that's a contradictory because you were taught
I,
those
no.
things. You did go through that.
Well,
but for my generation.
The proof is in the pudding. You're on this show. That's great.
Right.
Go ahead.
So I'm going to speak broadly. on why people of my generation has that gap that we weren't taught things like that because it was broken up. It's no secret that the government had a whole conspiracy on young black youth. It's called the Iran-Contra scandal. That's a whole show in itself. If you dig into that, you'll understand what happened with the cocaine and the crack and how cocaine became crack. They didn't have a problem with cocaine in the 80s. Or the 70s when it was just cocaine. It was when 1985 hit and your president became an actor, Ronald Reagan, that they dropped all this cocaine in California, taught this man a chemistry set, how to whip it up and change the game. So you got to go back into that, and that's where our disconnect lies, because they hooked all our leaders on drugs, even down in Huey P. Newton, and the Black Panther Party was on drugs to the point where he was disassociated. So now we have new diseases, new disorders, things that keeps the medical facility pumping, things that keeps the prison system pumping. I mean, after a chain gang, what's next?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to spend some time on that topic, because that's the second or third time I heard you make reference to it, and that is the negative effect that the government and many of the things that they've done has had on urban America in particular. We're going to do a show on that, Louis. We're going to do a show on
that.
Okay. But I appreciate you sharing that here. 1098, what do you think about that, man?
I say, I noticed, this is to Mr. Richardson, I noticed that normally when he talked, bring in slavery. Now, you mentioned religion, and you mentioned slavery and beating them and things of that nature. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Now, okay, there's a lot of history that has not been written. You know, where it's written, but we just don't know about it. My point is this. Mm-hmm. You are sounding like Friedrich Nietzsche. This is what you are sounding. This is the person that you are sounding like to me. In reality, what you are saying, from my point of view, is Christianity make men weak. You know, now slavery.
No.
You know, now
Hold on. Hold on one second.
Hear me out.
We're gonna let you
respond. And then I will listen to you. Hear me out.
Okay.
And then I will respond to you. The last time I think that you was on, you went back. You were talking about Harriet Tubman and the government saying that she was setting slaves and things of that nature. Okay.
Yep.
Now, what was Harriet Tubman's true name? What was her real name?
I'm not sure.
I'm asking you. See, I'm like,
he said he's not
realist.
Sure. He's not sure. Tell
You're
him.
Not sure. Her last name was Ross. R-O-S-S, like Diana Ross. Now, you had Dick and Screw. Now, when it comes to that, I'm going to take you back over to Africa. I want you to look up Madame Tenable. Look up Madame Tenable in the 1800s. Now, guess what?
Okay.
She helped stomp out slavery coming to the United States of America. She overthrew all those kings over there in Africa, you know, which it was a guy wanting to marry her. And when she overthrew that last one, she married him.
Mm.
See, now you sound like Friedrich Nietzsche to me. You blaming the white man. Look, I've never been a slave. You know, supposedly our ancestors went through a whole lot, but look at us today. Look at us today.
Do you mind if you respond?
I'm a realist now. I hope.
All right, go ahead, Bro Richardson. Respond to that.
Well, I first want to say, Pastor, I respectively, you know, hear you out. I've actually done my research on the young lady that you just got through talking about. And if you noticed, they really didn't talk about her the way they talked about Harriet Tubman. So, yes, you're exactly right. But let's go back to the Christianity, okay? I'm not saying Christianity
get
is
to
bad.
The north. No, I mean, I'm passionate because I understand what you're saying.
Wait a minute. This is like a basketball court. You had the ball, you dribble. Now you passed it to me. Last time for me to shoot. Okay?
All right, go ahead. You got the point.
The thing with Christianity, here we go again. Once again, like I said, it's a situation of you never heard me one time say, this is where black people, we get things mixed up. When I say something about what we were taught, listen to me, what we were taught, that's one thing, okay? You never heard, it's only two different types of God's pastor. Guess what those two are, good and bad. I know who woke me up this morning, it was a good God. I know who put clothes on my back, it was a good God. I know who put food on my table, it was a good God. Now, when I was out there robbing and stealing and selling dope, that was that bad God. But once again,
listen to the text. We were taught.
Yes.
We didn't. That's what I'm. That's all I'm trying to get you to understand,
okay.
Pastor. Now, guess what, Pastor? I respect you to the fullest.
Thank you, sir.
To the fullest. Like, you and Doc. I respect you all to the fullest. All I'm trying to get a lot of the pastors here in Nashville as well as the United States to understand is we were taught. But it says in the Bible,
okay,
in order to show thyself approved, you have to do what? Study. Am I right or am
right.
I wrong?
That's right.
That's what I'm doing. And I'm still studying.
I'd like to add something.
All right. Hold on 1 second. Are you finished there, Brother Rich?
Yes, I'm definitely done.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, 3072. And Lewis
and so
was trying to say something.
All,
hold on 1 second, Lewis. I'm going to tell you.
No,
go ahead,
3072. Oh, now.
Do you want Lewis to go ahead or his mom?
No, I want you to go ahead first.
Okay, baby. I mean, I don't mind yielding the floor. I mean.
All right, that's okay. Go ahead, 3072, speak.
Okay. So man, that was a great point, and there was, man, awesome guys, dialogue. And that's what it's going to take. So, like he said, study to show thyself approved. However, after you've studied, is what do you do with the studies? Where do we go with our findings? With our findings. If we don't compare and contrast what we've learned, and we have to all be open enough and able, not just learning, knowledge has to take place, knowledge, not just learning, knowledge. How do we gain knowledge? Through interacting with one another, and one coming to the table and saying this, and another coming to the table and saying that, and then the two of them coming to the table and researching together even, and hey, here is what we found. This is what it is. I love this. That's awesome.
Right. Good deal.
Yes.
Let me go to 8112. She's in patient. Go ahead, 8112.
Excuse me. I apologize.
That's okay.
What I have to say is this. My words are very limited tonight. My point to you is this. You guys, I'm sorry, I apologize, is that from where I came from, we can be well-educated within our books.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are educated within your books as well as street knowledge, that makes you triple-dibble to me.
Mm-hmm.
If you know so much on one side of the fence and I know a doggone thing on the other side of the fence, I almost cut by
it. Don't cut.
I respect everyone and their opinions, and your opinions are well-respected. But
okay,
my point to a lot of these young folks out here today that I've seen, I've never heard a lot of people say some of these young men doing whatever they're doing have been some of the bright young geniuses that came about.
Yes.
They have went to college
yes.
after they made their mistakes. They have learned so many doggone things that even they, if they had parents to raise them up, surprise. I have not heard that from a whole lot of people.
Okay.
I am tired of the younger generation being shot down like they just one of them subjects out there for statistics, as you call it.
Hold on,
please don't interrupt me. I'm on the road now. I'll pause that. I'm going to shut up.
Go ahead, anyone.
You got a lot of young people that came from well-educated families, but they came educated, and they came hard, and they came large. And they did what they done, just like a lot of you guys, their due diligence.
Yeah,
they worked their butts off, and they worked hard. And they sold dope, some of them, and some of them didn't. But they learned what they learned, and they did a great, beautiful thing. I got a whole lot of them in my family, and I'm proud of them.
Those
are the young brothers that are the soldiers outside of being in the Army, the Navy, or whatever.
Yes, ma'am.
They are the educated ones that come up to be productive like some of you guys, and they come from as people call it, broke down urban American families. Guess how they done that?
Yes.
Wow.
They worked hard. They did their due diligence to get educated, and they know what the hell they're talking about.
Okay.
I'm turning it over now. Thank you so much for listening.
8112, thank you for your passion.
Okay.
I want to let me just apologize.
It's a touchy subject.
That's
era,
all right.
And that is my mother. I don't want nobody out there to get the wrong impression.
We're not trying
what I mean, to discourage nobody.
Lewis,
but the truth
Lewis.
Is the truth. I grew up in
Lewis,
the 90s.
Lewis,
all.
Lewis, yes, Lewis, listen to me. Listen to me.
Okay.
There's no need to explain. This is talk straight.
Okay.
Thank
you. Talking crooked, I'm going to stop you. I want you to talk
straight. You said,
tell me what's on your heart. Okay,
right.
Now.
Thank you.
Now, I want to be clear, though, that I don't think any of us are downing our young men.
Okay.
Nope.
I know for a fact that Pastor Waller and I have been on the battlefield together. The truth of the matter is what we know is how and why they fell through the cracks.
Right.
And we are spending the time tonight and other instances climbing down, digging through the cracks to get them out.
Hey,
now, we ain't going to get them out if we're not going to be honest. Is that right, Pastor Waller?
Yeah.
Will you let me
say this to
you? Go ahead. I'm listening.
Come on, Pastor.
I'm not going to let nobody talk down on you because I fight for the young brothers, so ain't nobody talk down in front of me.
Hey,
I'm
going to
stand
you
up for you every time. I'm not going to stand up for you sometime. I'm going to stand up for you every time because I want you young.
Thank you.
That's right.
Hold on.
Y'all be quiet. Listen to him now. Y'all listen to him.
So what I want you to know, to be disciplined, you understand what I'm saying, is a plus. That means we won't withhold wisdom from you.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? It's wisdom that I didn't get coming up. You understand? I would love somebody to have put me in a position where I can not only listen, I can learn how to apply, which was what was said, 3072 was talking about. What do you do after you get the wisdom? Do you apply it? And see, I don't mess with the Bible unless I'm going to apply what it is that I read. I don't just mess with the Bible and say, ooh, I read that. That sounds good. I don't
That's
mess with it like
diligent,
that.
Huh?
I got to apply it in my life or else I don't mess with it at all.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's a beautiful thing, man. We're standing up for you at all times. Believe that.
Absolutely.
I know that. And that's first. I hope y'all don't take anything that we say personal because it's more on a broader scale.
Do it.
Sorry.
We all grown here, man. Lewis, we all grown folk. This grown folk talk right here.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody
like a kid, though, because I'm speaking to not my peers. When I speak to my peers, I talk like, you know, but God said when you were a man, you put your childish things away.
Amen.
But I try to remain childlike because I want to be close to God. I want to be close to my people. So I want to respect y'all as my elders, and I don't want to speak like I'm on the same level as y'all because y'all are the generation I learned from. And we talked about a generational gap. I want to bridge that, and I want to represent people that feel exactly how I do. And those who don't, I want to convince them that there's a better way for us because your future leaders are here today, and they looking
Fair
for
enough.
You to give them validation. That's my whole point. And I'm trying to validate that what you're saying is true. And I'm trying to hold America up to what they promised us. As a youth,
I'd like to
join
us.
Hold on, I'm coming to you. I'm trying not to cut
him
off.
That's my only
Lewis.
Point, and I'm passionate about it because I care. Because my nephews are the next generation. And what do they have to look up to if I'm nothing?
I guess. Hey, Lou, you in the house, baby. You in the house. Unfold your
Okay, I'm
among
sorry.
Friends.
I'm just being passionate because I feel that way.
Hey, just take it easy. You with us. You in the house. You in the house.
I'm sorry.
3072.
Yeah, thank
Go
you,
ahead.
Though.
All right, go ahead,
3072. And might I add again, I mean, I'm no stranger to anything that Lewis was talking about or any of the people of that caliber. I deal with all kinds, doctors, lawyers, nurses, therapists, you name it, because I'm an open individual and I believe people are people and human nature is human nature. If you don't know, you don't know.
I'm on the phone, man.
But when you find out, then you can't play like you don't know because you have been taught. You know.
Right.
So here's my point is what I'm saying. I love my youth, the younger generations. I have a young son that's coming up. They have friends. Here's what I'm saying. So with that you're getting, and I highly appreciate your respect for your elders and these older people that's on the line here. But if you don't not only listen, but whatever they're telling you, you can make it applicable to your life, then
right.
That's when you're going to start to see changes and results.
Right.
A lot of, not you, Lewis, and like I told you earlier, that your example of what you were saying, that you wasn't met and this, right, the example is you're here tonight on the phone lines with us.
Thank
How
you.
Many others are out there doing something different, committing a crime maybe,
right.
Making a drug deal, beating up a girl,
right.
Getting somebody pregnant, right, you're here on here, you're doing something positive.
Yeah.
But what about the other ones that's not doing that? What about them? We cannot forget them. We cannot exclude them, just like we can't forget or exclude the people that are doing well, the high class, the middle class, the people that's on track. We're focusing on what we need to focus on.
All right.
Hey,
we have to be honest and come in love with doing that.
That's true.
I just
want to give about 60 seconds and tell you, I'm going to tell you, Mr. Lewis.
Go
this
for
is,
it.
This is 615, Mr. Lewis. I'm going to tell you something, young man. Have you ever met older people that say that they can't learn anything from a young person? Have you ever met anyone like that, Mr. Lewis?
No.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, you're going to run across them. But here on this line, I don't think that us as older people, because I'm still learning. And what you've taught me, young man, is to continue to fight. You understand what I'm saying? Because when I was your age, I wasn't trying to listen. The only thing I was listening was trying to listen for the phone for the next gal to call me. With a half a pint of Hennessy and about three or four months of some good. You understand what I'm saying? So you're actually teaching us. You understand what I'm saying, young man? So this is the gap that you're talking about. The gap that you're talking about. I'm 45. The two preachers on the line, they're like my uncles. So it's like a three generational gap. I'm part of that gap that says, hey, look, I'm willing to learn from a younger person. Now I'm not saying that both of the preachers on the line won't say that they're not learning from you, but guess what?
Oh, we are.
I'm learning from you.
Sure.
I'm learning from you, young man. So you continue to do what you're doing. I'm proud of you. I love you and your moms and everybody else on this line, and there's nothing y'all can do about it. And darn it, I ain't taking it back. I'm done.
Hey, we love y'all. Right. We love everything that, like, over the last, I want to say 3 to 4 weeks, I've learned so much about who I am as a man. Like, it's changing my life because I got this outlet, and I try to make a point to be here on Tuesdays and Thursday nights to participate because I know the difference it can make. If I get one person to listen outside of myself that's youthful, that can take it back to their community and feel like they're being heard, then that's my job being done. But for you to say what you just said, validates everything that I could look forward to because that's all I wanted. It wasn't a monetary gain or a political gain or I want to be famous by this. What I want to do is connect because the disconnect is where we're losing at. We're losing each other because we don't understand each other. It's quick to judge, but it's harder to understand what somebody else is going through.
So, Lewis, what your plight should be to take on what you learned here tonight on to your next friend, on to your cousin, on to your nephew, explain to them, disconnect so that we can reconnect.
Right, and that's what I've been doing, and I will continue to do because it's an open conversation. If I see them doing wrong, I'm gonna tell them, hey, even though I did wrong, you might have seen me do that, don't make it right. That's my job. Is to educate them. I suffered through that so that you don't have to go through that. now exactly. I know better. I should teach you better. If I don't do that, then I'm doing you an injustice.
But you were talking. And the words in the street is the words in the street, Lewis, I know it, is nigga, you not no freaking older than me. How you gonna tell me? Man, I'm telling you through experience. You're right. I got 5 years on you, but here's what
it's
I just learned in those 5 years. Here's what I learned.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Yep,
I mean, you're exactly right. And it's a disrespect because it's so easy for them to want to entertain the gang bangs, the drug dealers, and all that. And you grew up part of that. You don't want to be that.
And I make it a special
point. Hold on,
guys.
Wrap your point up so we can keep it moving. Go ahead. 37-2.
My whole point is the youth has something to say. America is just not a country. It's your family.
Okay.
Despite if you know them or not, reach out.
Okay.
Be a voice. Be a help. Be a hand. Love somebody. Not hurt somebody by your misinformed knowledge.
Okay. Lewis, not to cut you off, but we're in our last segment of the show, and 37-2 was trying to say something, and I want to bring in another conversational thread. Before we get out of here, go ahead, 37-2, right quickly.
I make a special point to not limit myself, and I know that we talk about being careful with our interactions with people, but I make it a point not to try to look down on anybody, and I will entertain a reasonable conversation or relationships with people from different aspects or different outwalks of life for me. Because, you never know where or who you can learn something from. I make that a point. And wherever there's room for me to spread the gospel, to send a good word, to send positive energy, I take advantage of that. And I think that's what we all should do.
Okay. Let me go this way, Pastor.
Yeah.
Let me go this way.
Okay.
I get Brother Richardson, Outkast, and yourself on the line, okay?
Hey,
I want to ask you a question.
I
know y'all, 8112, I know you in 3072 here. I ain't talking to you right now.
Yes, sir, I was about that.
I ain't talking to you right now. You know I love you like Philip, but I love Philip, but I ain't talking to you right now. Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me pose this question to these gentlemen, and I'm doing this for a reason. Let me pose this question to you. All right, gentlemen, in what way can or have things like money, the lack of money, social pressures, not having a job, not having your own business, breakdown in the family, those type of socioeconomic conditions around urban America cause people to become derailed in their actions and their thoughts? Y'all hear the question?
I'm going to let Pastor answer that first.
Anyway, Pastor, you want to pass to Outkast, or you want to come on with it?
Yeah, let him go ahead. Let him go ahead.
Go ahead, Outkast. Okay.
Well, I haven't actually experienced what you were talking about, but there are a lot of people that have experienced it now because they're stuck and they actually don't know how to move. Me, I haven't been in that situation. I've always been able to keep it moving, you know, finances and things of that nature. But it may be a mental gap. What I mean by that is by not having the things that they want, jobs or whatever, you know, it goes into that and social behavior, whether it be drinking, stealing, robbing and things of that nature. Going back to what you stated, staying focused and not getting derailed. Things may not work out for you today. It may not work out for you tomorrow, but if you keep moving and you keep trying, things are going to get better. To what you stated, they are derailed and frustrated because they don't have it right then and there, can't get it tomorrow, you know. And I do want to state this because I know you're running out of time. When it comes to your monologue, I respect your monologue. When you come in, you know, you do your monologue, you have did all of your research, and I appreciate that. You know, sometimes the majority of times I do get an opportunity to listen, but opening up topics leadeth you, you know, because you're going to do your research and you're going to bring it to the table. You know, we have to be careful about things that we talk about and things that we throw out. Just what I love about your program. Whatever you talk about, you have did your research. And I'll hold from there. I'm done.
Okay.
It got you real.
Okay. All right, Pastor or Brother Ritz, Brother Ritz, you want to go or you want you deferred to Pastor Wallace. Go ahead, Pastor Wallace.
Yeah, you know, it's a thing called I'm in with the in crowd. And when there's an in crowd, you know, when you grow up as I am now, I use for a good example. And I look forward to see some of the brothers and sisters that come out, you know, that's on the line now with opportunity. But God placed me in a place, a location, in which I came from, and he placed me back in the same area purposely to see the generations that out here captured without information. And he wants me to take a closer look at what's going on, which is what I'm doing, and offering them, extending a hand to them to let them know this is not a put-down, but this is just to lift you up and let you know that there is still hope.
Yes, sir.
Because
yes,
when you're
sir.
In a trap, when you're in a trap, you're going to go for what you know, and it'll have nothing to do with anything other than what you're going for. And let me give you a greater example, if you will. There's something about the power of words. And it was able to overtake me, and I'm watching it do generations after generations, man. And so if you don't mind me saying this, the Word of God says, don't you realize that you become the slave? That don't mean you was, but you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey.
Well,
and that's what they're doing for it. When they're out there hustling, if someone happens to make $10, they're going to try to make $10 more again. And all of a sudden, that caused them to go for what they know. They just learned how to make $10 quick, not at some place of business, you know, that offer you a job, go through the paperwork and all. That's called the fast lane. And so things like distract people from going looking for a job or to go and to just say, I'm going to get one, I'm going to stay with it until I get one. You know, a lot of that is just ludicrous to think that people out here are going to automatically do that when the trap is so powerful and it's attractive. It looks good. It seems like if I can just get with the in crowd over there, then I got it made. But that's part of the trap. So I like to encourage people. That's what I'm here for, to have compassion on them. And God gave it to me. So I want you to teach people what I taught you. See, that's instructions, man. I mean, that's simple instructions. He said, I want you to teach people what I taught you. He taught me how to get out of what I was in. I didn't know how.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say. Extend
your hand. Brother Ritson, you want to take a stab at it? Then I'm gonna offer some consideration.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, like I said, 10 years ago, I didn't see me where I'm at now. And the reason why I say that, I never imagined I'd be married. I never imagined I'd have a house, beautiful wife, three cars. I never imagined that. But one night, you know, the Lord told me, you know, anything that you want, I'll give it to you with your heart desires. But you have to follow me. So the thing is, as I begin to follow him, he told me several times, it's not going to be easy. I think that's the thing that I'm stuck in there. And I know it sounds crazy because people don't like hard work. That's for one. Just to kind of bring it up to speed, three months ago, I was diagnosed with stress. Okay? And I tell you where the stress comes from. Okay? The stress simply comes from going into work, listening to someone that's dumber than you, but you have to listen to them, okay? And it's bad, but it's I'm going through it right now. But see, the beautiful thing about what I'm going through right now is I'm going through the humbling stages so that when the Lord actually gives me that sign,
I have the pieces to the puzzle. I have my wife. I have my family that supports me. So right now, I'm on the road to actually having my own business. I have to have that money. Once I get that money, then there it is. But I have to go through what I have to go through, which a lot of people, you know, a lot of people don't like constructive criticism. We don't like it. We don't like the truth. So right now, I have to get my hands dirty. I have to get my hands dirty in order to get to that next level, because once I get to that next level of owning my own business, I want to be able to hire employees and really show people this is how you really treat people. You know what I'm saying? And then you can, and then as a black community, that's when we can say, okay, now what I've done is I've did this, that, those, and the others. Now I want to offer jobs for my people that are willing to work, because you know it's two different types of people in our community. Some people offended. I might get some people offended online. I hope I don't. But I said this to Doc. You have blacks and you have niggas. I'm not having no niggas. I'm telling you that now. If you a nigga, you can't sign my application for my company, because here it is. Black folks take pride in what they do. Niggas, they don't care. They just simply don't care.
Okay.
You know, but then, you know, but that's
sir,
the same.
Hold on 1 second, 81
seconds.
That's it. I'm done, Doc. But I really appreciate everybody, listening to me. And please, definitely, everyone, please visit me on Instagram, DonRich_42. I do motivational videos, ladies and gentlemen. If anyone needs advice on anything, please follow me, because I want to follow you so that we can learn from each other. We're teachers of the world, ladies and gentlemen. That's the only way we're going to piece this thing.
But if I may intervene, if that's possible for you guys.
Go ahead, 8112.
I'm going to say this. I ain't visiting no Bible talk show radio, first of all. But second of all, I will say this. We do as we does, because in order to get your hands dirty, you did some dirt to get your hands dirty. I don't do dirty.
Yeah.
I don't deal with that.
Yeah.
What I do this. I give my praises to the good Lord. He blesses me each and every day. If I have a struggle, my mama used to say, understand this, because it goes back to your ancestors, your mama, your grandmama, and everybody else. While you busy worrying about it, God already taking care of it.
Wow.
You're right.
Now, that's what I know. Now, me, I may not be as young as all of y'all. Y'all ain't that young. Y'all said some of you. I'm 54 years old, and I'm proud of it, and I'm grateful for that. My point to you guys is this. When you keep talking about your due diligence, how did you get your due diligence? What did it take for you to come about what you have outside of working your butt off to get that? I worked my butt off all my kids' life.
Okay.
And I taught them right from wrong. But
I'd like to teach them
the best way that how to teach them. I was not raised in an era where you teach them wrong and teach them to do wrong, whether you're doing right or wrong. And I'm going to leave this along in about 1 second here, because it is what it is, and that's what I have to say.
Amen. You know I love you.
Amen.
I love you, don't you?
We got peanut butter and jelly. Hold my hand, because I'm getting a little excited tonight.
Wow. All right. That's all right. That's all right. Go ahead, 3072.
Well, 8112, I'm coming to Peoria tonight to hold your hand.
What?
But,
excuse me. I'm sorry, Pastor. That girl done made me cut.
Hey, but in the midst of all of what you said, man, I can find appreciation for Mr. Richardson and what 8112 is saying. Right, man, he made a great point. We had an incident, and I'm trying to be fast, at work this week, where a Caucasian nurse that was about, all of 26 years old, referred to an 83-year-old black man as silly. Now, he's going through stage 1 of dementia, And this man was a highly respected man within his community, an ex-pastor. He said
yes,
he's down on his – yeah, right, right. So this brought tears to the man's eyes. The woman, his wife, was upset by it. She came to me wanting to know what she should do.
Wow.
Right. And may I add that we are black. Oh, what you should do is express your concern and your outrage. This man is not a silly. He's not a child. He's a man.
Right.
He's a man
right.
that is sick. And if you have a concern, you should express that within our nursing manager. If that don't work, then you should tell somebody else. But the point is, he made a good point as far as people not, like, valuing what they do or they don't care about what they do. I agree with him. And that's not only, though, just with the whites. It's within our own community. It's
can
within
I add
our
to that?
Own community.
Can I add to that?
Is,
one second, Louis.
Hold on a
one
second.
Second.
No problem.
Right
hold
sorry.
On a second, Louis.
Go ahead, finish.
Sorry. Hold on a second, Louis.
I'm listening.
Hold on
go ahead,
a second, Louis.
Sorry.
Go ahead,
my father
finish
has passed talk. Away now. My father has passed away now for not even a whole year. My brother made a T-shirt in honor of the Father Day. Each one teach one. Each one teach one.
Live by that model.
Exactly. So where are we losing? We're not teaching the next one. And the next one is not listening to the one before him. So, again, if I can stress anything on this show tonight, it would be for each one to teach one and for that one before him to listen, to listen. Please listen.
Yeah, that's a word.
Please listen. And
good
I'll
point.
Stop
go ahead. Go ahead, Lewis.
Yeah, I mean, she hit it. It's definitely that's on mark. Like, I mean, I almost lost my whole train of thought on it because each one will teach one, and everything that you guys are saying is correct. And the thing about it all, to go back to the point she was making about the grown man that was in a medical facility that's done all these great things to be referred to as silly is because it's a lack of
right.
It's a
right.
lack of respect based off who we are as people. It
right.
don't matter if your family were free or slaved or not. The truth is that they don't respect you because they refer to black men in general, not just young black men, even more so now as three-fifths
older.
Of a human
this
being.
This man is 83 years old, exactly.
Oh, and they still call him a boy. That's why that girl could get
right.
away with calling him silly as a man. She doesn't understand
and so Louis,
him. Oh, situation.
So,
but
Louis,
she,
what I instructed that wife to do at the same age, and I'm sorry to cut him off, but what I instructed is for her to take the next level because that
right.
is important that you
right.
don't act out emotionally and curse
right.
the nurse out, but you go to where it's going to count,
yeah.
to where they can document yeah. and make records so this lady is corrected with the next
right.
brother that come in there.
Right, because right. imagine how many other people, despite color, she treats like this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
these are ill people. I take it. I mean, you
mm-hmm.
don't treat anybody like that. You don't categorize
mm-hmm.
anybody like that when you're a professional.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a professional,
mm-hmm.
you are based off of ethics. You have a clause in your contract
mm-hmm.
that you have to treat
mm-hmm.
people with dignity and respect despite color, gender,
mm-hmm.
or creed, age, or belief. It doesn't matter who you are. It's what you are. You're a human. You're not three-fourths or three-fifths or anything. We're not apes. We're
I'm
not
able
monkeys,
to
and we didn't come from evolution.
Louis, I've got away with calling that man Papa, and guess what? He respects that. We had a dialogue, a communication, a line of respect there. I respect
all right.
that
Papa
you're older.
Respect.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, great point. Great points that were raised. I wanted to just add this to that, gentleman. I asked Outcast and Pastor Wall and Brother Richardson. Because they certainly are of an experience, an era of experience that I'm sure they can relate to. Now, here's one of the problems that I'd like to offer you to consider. The text says in Proverbs that as a man thinketh in his heart, that's where you can expect him
so
to act.
Yes,
now,
sir.
That's right.
One
that's
of the problems is too many of our young people and old people, some of them are old now, See, mm-hmm. Outcast, ain't nothing worse than a fool than an old fool. Because the old fool has time to get it right. But too many people are lost because they did not get proper guidance at an early age. Now, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. Not any way, not some way, but it was very specific with the article, the. Train up a child in the way that he should go. I'm afraid, gentlemen, that we keep getting young people born and folk don't know how to raise them right.
Ooh, yeah.
When they get up, they get to be a certain age where society expects things from them, then they go off the rail because they have not been properly prepared for life and dealing with themselves in society in America, let alone urban America. That's where we can put our is on family training, family enrichment, family development, such that even in a single parent home where that's just the mother, young men get this instruction and training.
But Pastor, may I say something real fast?
Yes.
Please.
Yes, go ahead.
I came from a single family home. My mother had 13 children. She had 7 sons.
Right.
And you know what? Not now one of them disrespected her. Not now one went to prison. Now, I ain't going to tell no lies that they might got arrested for something on their way down their journey.
Okay.
I will say this, it ain't always about your upbringing because everyone has a designated life.
Okay.
God chose me to speak out and tell my family, and I drink and I smoke cigarettes. And I'm not going to lie to name one of y'all because I don't owe y'all that.
Okay.
But my point is, when he made me fall down on my knees, you got to go.
Yes.
When you say, Jesus, I thank you, God, for Jesus, and I need your help, something going on in my family, if you love me like that, you're going to do what it do. I love the young people, not only my family like that, but all the young people. And your struggle is what? Your struggle seems to be to me is you are busy. And I'm grateful for you being busy. And all you guys that are truly busy, being honest with it, the ones that are truly honest with meaning what they say. Because these folks need some help. And the only way they're going to get it is when you get through, is to call upon my grandfather, for my father, God, for Jesus. And that's true. You call him what you want to call him, but he's still present. As long as you believe in a higher spirit, you know it's real.
Right.
Amen.
I'm done with that.
Amen.
Look at the time. Let me hear a final thought from everybody before we get out of here, because time is going to get away from us here. Let's start with you, 81. Well, no, you wait, 81-12. You fired up too much. 3072, give me a final thought right quick.
I mean, do I need to send more money so we can get more time for the show? Because Pastor Waller is tripping out playing with the clock.
Pastor Waller.
I've really enjoyed, this dialogue. I hate that the time has come to an end, but it's been wonderful. It's been wonderful.
I've enjoyed it, too. Thank you. I appreciate your contribution to it. Yes, ma'am. For sure. Go ahead. Let's go. 1098. Come on, man. Before time get away from.
I give Pastor Waller mine. They have it.
Okay.
He gonna bring it. He gonna bring it on. He will bring it on.
All right. Okay then. Thank you, Outcast, for being with us tonight. Bro Richardson, come on, man. Give me a final thought, big brother. Before we get out.
Well, here it is once again. You know, a lot of my videos, I tell people that I love them, and it's nothing they can do about it, and I'm not taking it back, and I really mean it. You know, so this is my thing. I've said it once, and I'll say it again. God is using us.
Mm.
We are pieces of a puzzle, okay?
All
right? There's only two pieces of a puzzle, right or wrong. Same thing with God, okay?
Okay.
It's only two different types of God. A right God and a wrong God. We have to choose which one we can't serve both of them. Okay. All right. So my thing is, everyone on this line, definitely get in touch with what you're good at. Please, if you're not an entrepreneur, make yourself one. Find out what it is that God has instilled in you, and use that gift. We all have a gift. Don't wait until you're 100 years old and let that gift be wasted. Now remember, okay? Remember, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. KFC was almost 80 years old. Okay, but he never gave up. So my whole thing is, ladies and gentlemen, young or old, never give up. Keep striving for what it is that God has in store for you.
All right, we appreciate that, man. We appreciate that. All right, 8112, you got the flow. Give me about a minute there.
I respect what. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name or number, but I look at it like this: is God uses all of us in His own way. He uses me each and every day to speak out to. Maybe I'm closer to them than you are, in my own way. There's a special way that God chooses to use the ones He picks out, and He make His decision. So I look at it like this: is if I can wish better for the young generation, I hope the Lord uses me in a way. If it means me falling down short, drinking or smoking a cigarette, and I can connect with them, then I will be that person. Because if He don't use you, you got a problem.
All right.
Understand that. I wish everybody well. I respect y'all. Respect. And I hope you take on some of what I said, if not any of it. I hope you took on some of it. And I hope there's someone out here listening on Pastor Zachary radio station. I'm not putting it out there for nobody else because this is radio station, and I want everybody to know that I said that. And I respect him, and I am blessed and grateful that he even bothers to take the time to listen to me or take my phone call. And thank y'all so much. God, y'all be blessed in every way. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. We appreciate all of you guys. I just hate the time is getting away from Pastor. Go ahead, sir. Take us home here, man. We got a couple of minutes here, about a minute and a half. 2 minutes and a half, I'm sorry.
Bless God, man. I thank God for everybody who played a role tonight. I thank God for the power of giving us a day that we never have seen before. Also, thank God for allowing us to do what the Word of God says, stir up the gifts, and that's what's been happening on this night. Most importantly, I want to always remember that the Word of God says in the book of Psalms 90 and verse 12, it says, "Oh, teach us how to number our days."
Wow.
"And that we may apply it unto wisdom." So there's a twofold thing with that, is to learn how to be taught and to learn how to apply what you learn.
Wow.
And that's the theme of togetherness. And the Word of God said, "Well, there's two or three gathered together in His name, touching and agreeing, that He would be in the midst of us." He was in the midst tonight. I want y'all to know that. He deserves clap praise. You know how it is when they say when praises go up. I believe Psalms 121 states that very clear. "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from which cometh help." Realizing all of our help comes from Him who made heaven and earth. All of you be blessed. Looking forward, Outcast, for you to come over here and help me with these young brothers, man. And all the rest of you is good. Glory to God.
All right. God bless you. Man, we're going to have to work on that extended time there, 3072. Appreciate all of you guys. The website is www.bfcinstitute.com. There's more information that you can go to us and follow us there. But we appreciate you. We endeavor to be back next night at 7 o'clock, I'm sorry, Central Standard Time. And we thank you again for joining us, and we will see you then for another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we appreciate you all.
Praise the Lord. God, good thing. All the time. And all the time, God is